Okay, good morning. Today we are concluding our series, Facing Giants. And I'm going to talk about and address not just one giant today, but a whole giant family, okay? A whole giant family. And the reason why I call this a giant family is because these giants, I feel like they're related to one another. They're related and they're kind of in the same category. And so these are the giants I'm going to be talking about today. Maybe you face some of these giants. Procrastination, laziness, comfort, complacency, lack of self-control, being undisciplined, apathy. And those are some big giants. And actually, I've tangled with these giants, and I continue to fight against these giants influencing my life. I think we've all faced these giants and deal with these giants at one time or another, or even currently in our lives. We've all tried to make, you know, resolutions, maybe a New Year's resolution about like eating better or exercising more, or trying to be better financially or whatever, right? We've tried to do those things. And typically, we start off strong, right? Because we're motivated. We're like, okay, I'm going to start that exercise program. I've been putting it off, right? I'm going to start exercising. And we start off strong, whatever goal you set. And maybe for a few days or a week or even a couple of weeks, you're doing okay. And then all of a sudden, you miss a day. And then you miss another day. And pretty soon, you start petering out, right? Start petering out. Or maybe, like, you hear a message or you get inspired, but you don't even have the motivation to even try or even start. There's lots of areas like that in our life, and I think we all deal with these giants. But, you know, the Lord makes it clear. The Lord makes it clear in His Word that these giants are opposed to the life that God intends for us and how He intends for us to live. Look at these verses. It's really clear. Romans 12, 11. Never be lazy. It's like, and I read it, go, wow. Like, never be lazy? Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Here's another verse, Proverbs 6, 6 through 9. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. But you, second time, lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? And so this is a sample of just a couple of verses, but throughout the Bible, God talks about working hard, being disciplined, train, exercise the fruit of self-control. So God intended us to exhibit these kind of traits, but often those stinking giants are influencing us, are standing in our way, are taunting us. You know, laziness, apathy, right? All those kinds of things. Well, God has certainly done His part and is so willing to do His part in our lives. Not only did Jesus die for us to give us victory, like Ross talked about, He's given us the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So God is more than willing and desiring to do His part in our lives. But we have to do our part as well. You know, something that I think the Lord has been speaking to several in our church in this season, it's the idea that maturity is not God, primarily God doing for us. You know, we've learned a lot about identity, a lot about grace, a lot about God's love, and all that is true, and that is our foundation. But God wants us to move beyond Him just doing for us. Also, though, maturity is not us doing for God primarily. It's not God primarily doing for us, or it's not us doing for God. Maturity is God working through us to accomplish His purposes. And that is partnership. That is a marriage. That is walking through life together. And that's maturity, is when we learn to walk together in partnership with God. God doing His part and us doing our part. So what is our part? What does it take for us? What does God desire for us to do in helping to take down the giants I mentioned, laziness, procrastination, comfort, lack of discipline? Well, for these particular family of giants, I believe it's important that we do one thing. We strengthen our will. We have to strengthen and build up our will and our willpower. Now, let me just explain this for a little bit. Our soul is made up of different parts, and often the way our soul is described, it's being our mind, our emotions, and our will. That makes up our soul. And it's important that we grow and develop in all three of those dimensions of our soul. We want a healthy soul so that the Holy Spirit can move through us and utilize our mind, our emotions, and our will for His good purposes in our lives and then in the lives of others. And so it's important we need to develop a keen, discerning mind. We need to develop healthy, balanced emotions. We need to develop a strong, energetic will. Let me give you an analogy. That's a diagram here. But let me give you an analogy. Let's say, you know, you talk about God as the pilot. Let's say the Holy Spirit is the pilot, and you are the co-pilot. So together you are flying this plane. But let's say as you attempt to fly this plane, you don't want a weak engine, right? You don't want a weak, worn-out engine if you're flying a plane. That's like our will. Our will is the engine. And, you know, you don't want a haywire guidance system. You know, instruments and all those instruments and guidance mechanisms. You don't want a haywire mind. And you don't want contaminated fuel, dirty fuel, to fuel your plane. And that could be like hurt or damaged emotions. You know, when our soul is damaged, when our soul is worn out, when our soul has areas, parts of it, either mind, emotions, or will, that's not functioning healthily or properly, we need to address it. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need a mechanic to come along and help us out. And that's where prayer ministry comes in. Prayer ministry can help bring the Lord's healing, help us to encounter the Lord in the areas of our mind, especially in the areas of our emotions. If you have hurt emotions, if you grew up in a difficult family environment, you probably carry hurt, damaged emotions. So you need someone to come along to help repair those parts, right? But using this analogy, okay, soul being mind, emotions, and will, which part of the soul do you think is most critical in taking down the giants we're looking at today? Which part of the soul do you think is most critical in taking down laziness, procrastination, lack of discipline? I think it's the will. The will is the most critical to strengthen so that God can work through you, activating your will to help defeat those giants. Those giants. And the Bible encourages this. The Bible encourages this, this training up, this building up of your will. Look at this passage. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Paul talking, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives a prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Basically, he's saying they just do it for a medal or a physical object, but we're doing it for something eternal, everlasting, imperishable. How much more should we try to build ourselves up in this way? So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. What is Paul talking about? He's talking about training. Training ourselves. Training our wills to be strong so that God has that tool in us to utilize to accomplish his good purposes in and through our lives, right? And I believe, okay, we're going to get real practical here, you know, because you hear these verses, you read these verses, you hear this message, and, you know, you could feel like the end application is, well, don't be lazy. Don't be apathetic, right? Stop procrastinating. Work hard, right? Be diligent. And it's like, all right, but how? How practical tools? How do I strengthen my will? How do I do it in a way that I feel like I can accomplish that? Two words. Many habits. I talked about this about a month ago. Many habits. I believe this is a wonderful wisdom application, practical tool that's very, very doable in helping us to improve and strengthen our will so that we will be better suited and prepared to tackle and face these giants of procrastination, right? All of us struggle with procrastination at times, especially, you know, Myers-Briggs, you P's out there. I know there's a lot of P's out there. Procrastination, huge, right? This can help. This can help. Let me read you a definition of many habits. It's from the book called, what? Many Habits, all right? It's a book called Many Habits. A mini habit is a very small, let me emphasize that, very, very, very small positive behavior that you force yourself to do every day or whatever frequency you set. What's that talking about? It's exercising your will. Force yourself to do it every day. But it's a tiny step. A mini habit's too small to fail nature makes it weightless, deceptively powerful, and a superior habit building strategy. Basically the idea behind a mini habit, it's make the goal of the habit, let's say it's a daily habit, make it so ridiculously small that it's super easy to accomplish, okay? In order to build long-term positive habits that will, in the long run, this isn't a short-term solution, but it's in the long run will make huge impact in your life, okay? As I mentioned about a month ago, I gave a message when I was talking about David facing Goliath. and I talked about David's preparation, and I talked about many habits. And so after that message, I thought, you know, I really have to put my money where my mouth is. I really have to apply these many habits. And I had been doing something similar for a while in other areas of my life, but I go, okay, I'm gonna apply these many habits. I'm gonna really see if it works in my own life. And the area I'm going to tackle is, dun, 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 exercise, right? It's exercise. We all know it, right? We all know we're supposed to exercise to be healthier, right? Have regular exercise. And for me in particular, you know, in January, I hurt my back really bad. I was laid up, literally laid up on the couch, sleeping on the couch, everything for a month. So I hurt my back, and my cousin, who's a physical therapist, he gave me exercises to do, and they were very easy, simple exercises. So I was doing those all throughout, and I recovered. And then I went back to him and said, hey, you know, so I feel like I'm better now, so is there some exercise that I should be doing just for maintenance? And he had been telling me, like, I said, you know, with a back, he goes, well, you know, you're not getting any younger. And so I go, okay, so I'm probably going to have to do this as much as I can for the rest of my life. He goes, yeah, probably. So I go, okay. So he gave me a set of exercises to do. And, you know, these sets, it's all to strengthen your core, right? You hear a lot about that. You have to strengthen your core, right? My core is terrible, right? So strengthen my core. But the exercise he gave me was like planks. You know what? You just hold, like you're a stiff board, you hold a position, and then you go on your side, you hold a position, and he goes, the best way to do these, it's like, hold it for a minute or two, right? Rather than doing reps. It's like, rest of my life, huh? Okay, and I tried. I started trying to do it, and it was only like three exercises a day, right? And there was a different set on the next day, and you'd alternate. I was trying to do it. I did it kind of off and on, but pretty good for maybe 2 weeks. And then I was like, I don't want to do these. I hate these things. I don't like these planks, right? I don't, even I try to watch TV, right? And I don't like it. I go, I know me. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Are you kidding me? I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm not going to do it, right? So I stopped. I stopped doing it. But then, you know, it's like I would get these little back tweaks, and it's like, oh, it's kind of take it easy. So I thought, I got to do something. So then I took up the mini habit challenge. And this is what I said. My mini challenge, and again, it's got to sound to you like, that's so stupid. That's like ridiculous. How is that going to happen? So my mini habit challenge was one burpee a day, okay? So you know what burpees are? You're down, I'm not gonna demonstrate it, but you go down, kick your legs out, go, okay, right? Yeah, you do, okay, I know. Okay, go like this. All right, so I met my goal already, one. I did one, right? Now you might think, what is that gonna do? That's ridiculous, right? One's not gonna do anything. No, it will. It will. It will help. It will help. Because what you're trying to do is build a habit of consistency, right? That's the goal. It's the habit. And so, Miha says, if you say, do one, let's not say one, do one push-up. What? Do one? I could do that any day. That's what you want it to feel like. That's what you want your thought to be. That's so super easy. I could do that, right? So I believe mini habits is a great, great tool to help build our will up, to build ourselves up, to be able to defeat giants. Now, let me give you 7 reasons why the mini habit approach works well. Number one, it aligns with our brains. Now, this is very simplistically, I'm sure Dr. Agnes is going to say, yeah, it doesn't really work like that, but this is just for illustration purposes. But it simplistically, the prefrontal cortex is the conscious part of our brain, okay? It's the part that analyzes, makes decisions, assesses things. We have this other part, there's all different parts, but there's this other part called the basal ganglia. And what the basal ganglia does, it involves a subconscious part. But one of the key components, important functions of the basal ganglia, it helps monitor the automatic functions that we do, the mindless kind of activities that we engage in. It's what helps control the habits and develop habits in our life. So what many habits do, when you do it consistently, it starts building the neural pathways. Right, Dr. Agnes? She's nodding. She says yes. It starts building the neural pathways in our brain that build positive habits in our lives. You know, like waking up and brushing your teeth. Now, this is really important because the basal ganglia, even though it's a subconscious, it's kind of like the dumb part of the brain in a way, it's just automatic. How would it be if every morning you have to decide, am I going to brush my teeth today? What toothpaste should I use? How should I brush my teeth, right? If you had to try to make those decisions every day with your prefrontal cortex, drive you crazy. We couldn't live. So here comes basal ganglia. I'm going to help you out. You made it a habit. It's automatic. You wake up, you go in there, you put your toothpaste, all right, and you have a certain way, and you just do that automatically every day. That's what we're trying to develop. We're trying to build and develop healthy, positive habits, ingrain those in our brain, in our basal ganglia, so you will be doing those automatically every day, okay? There's a Duke University study, very interesting. It says 45% of all of our activities and behaviors in a given day, it's automatic. You do it without thinking. 45%. Whether that's good or bad. Some habits we built are bad habits, right? Certain things happen, you get triggered, and then starts that habit going. Bad habits, addictions, different things. Well, we want to try to build healthy, positive, good habits that take up a bulk of that 45%, right? So, many habits aligns with how our brain operates. Number two, it relies on willpower over motivation. A lot of self-help books, a lot of stuff that talks about habits, they major on motivation. You got to be motivated. You got to read this. You got to do this. You got to watch this. Be motivated to do it. The problem with motivation is primarily it's based on our emotions, right? Motivation is based on our emotions. And those go what? Up and down, and up and down. So you could start off strong. I'm going to do 30 push-ups a day. Yeah, I do it the first day. Yeah, I'm do it the next day. Peter's out. Instead, we should base these habits on our will, our willpower. But the thing with many habits is it makes it so small that it doesn't take a lot of willpower to get it going, to accomplish. That's the beauty of it. Third, this is what I'm talking about. It accounts for your lowest days. You know, the studies have shown we often overestimate our abilities. That's why we never make it with our resolutions. We think, I could do that. That's when you're pumped up, right? That's when you're excited. That's when you're motivated. I could do that. I could do 30 burpees a day. No problem. So I do 30 burpees tired, but I did it, right? But what about the day when you had a terrible day at work, your project's overdue, the kids are running wild, right? Or something's going bad. Are you going to do 30 burpees on that day? So you have to account for, when you're making a habit, you have to account for your lowest days. Are you still able to do it on your lowest days? That's why these mini habits are so good, because we set it so that even on the lowest days, you think, I could still do it. I could do one burpee. Even on my lowest emotional day, even when circumstances are terrible, I could still do it. You know, there's one day, I think early on, I think it was day three, I forgot to do my burpee. And I was lying in bed. And I forgot to do it. But you know what? It's just one. So you know what I did? Rolled out of bed, did my burpee, went back to bed. I accomplished my goal. No guilt. I did my goal. And I moved on. Okay? So it accounts for your low state. Number four, it uses one-step momentum. The hardest part, the hardest step in anything is the first step. It's hardest to do the first step. Because sometimes you don't even, it's not even that you're not motivated. You don't even want to be motivated. Right? It's not that you're not motivated, but I don't even want to be motivated to do that. Right? But by doing one, just one, it helps you to get going. It helps you to get the momentum going. You know a locomotive, powerful train locomotive, it could be stopped by a 6-inch block in front of that locomotive because no momentum. It's not going. So to try to get going, it could be stopped. But if you get that locomotive going, you get momentum going, and it gets to full speed, a locomotive could blow through a 6-foot steel wall. So the idea of Mini Habits is get the momentum going. Because once you do one, and you don't have to stop at one, right? I think that's my next point. It says it gives you the freedom to do more. That's why point six, right? It gives you the freedom to do more, or seven. So I could do bonus burpees. I don't have to stop at one. And you know what I found? A couple of days, maybe I did one, maybe just 1 or 2 days, but most of the days I do like 10 or more. Because like you do one, it's like, you ask yourself, can I do one more? It's just one, I could do one more. I do one more, and I get the momentum going. I could do another one. I could do another one. I could do another one. And then since that time, I've added on 2 other exercises I do. Because you build the momentum. Number 5, it seeks long-term consistency over short-term quantity. How many days does it take to develop a habit? You've heard it. 21 days, right? That's a myth. That's a myth. He goes in the book, he goes into why that's a myth, because it was based on this prosthetic medical doctor, all this. But he says, it all depends on who you are and what you're trying to do as a habit, right? He goes, he found it could take anywhere from 18 days to 254 days to develop a habit. So when you're thinking of doing this habit, it's got to be small enough where you go, I could do it for 200 days. No problem. Easy. Right? He says, on average, he found it took at least 66 days to develop a habit. That's when that basal ganglia is going and you got that thing cooking, and then it becomes harder not to do it than it does to do it because you're so used to doing it. And your basal ganglia is like, come on. We're supposed to do it today. I feel funny because we haven't done it yet. If you don't brush your teeth one day, do you feel funny? It's like, ooh, yeah. Well, why? Basal ganglia saying, hey, you didn't brush your teeth yet. That's our routine. Come on, get it going. Right? And then number 7, it creates compound successes. You do it once, you feel good. You just do one burpee, I feel good. You do it the next day, I feel better. I feel good. I feel good. You get all these wins under your belt. Tell, I'm really excited about these mini churches. In fact, I thought, I think I want us to be a mini habit church where everyone's trying doing mini habits because we really need to strengthen our will, our soul. We want it to be in tip-top shape. So when that moment comes, when God calls you into that battlefield to face the giant, Goliath. David had put in all this time of training, and he was ready. He was ready so that when God's moment came for him, he could look at that giant and say, "You're going down because my God is with me and I've prepared and you're going down." And this mini habit could be applied in numerous, you have that handout? Does everyone have a handout? Everyone have a handout? On there, that's just a small list of all the possible areas where you could apply a mini habit in your life. And I challenge you to just pick one. Just pick one. Like, for example, we do the church Bible reading. You know, I know in our church, and it's only five Monday through 5:00, read a chapter a day. We're doing an all-church Bible reading together. I know many of you, you started out strong. Okay, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to read my Bible every day. And you petered out. And then you feel like, I'm so far behind. You know, a lot of people I've talked to, some people, they feel like, I have to catch up. I've got to catch up. Let that go. Don't put that weight. You think, if you keep thinking you're going to catch up, you're going to start trying to catch up. At a certain point, you know you're not going to try to catch up anymore because it keeps getting bigger and bigger. Let that go. In fact, I've told a group of guys in my small group, I said, it's consistency. It's not quantity. Forget even the one chapter. Read one verse a day in the Bible reading. We're reading through 1 Corinthians. If it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, just read one verse from chapter 5. That's it. Do a mini goal, mini habit. But do it every day. You think when you read your Bible, you read one verse, you're going to just stop at one verse like Lay's potato chips. You're going to read more. Most days you're going to read a little bit more. Some days you might read a whole chapter. But you're free once you read one. I did my habit. I'm setting my consistency. I'm building it, building it, building it, building it. So, do a mini habit. On there I have just guidelines for mini habit. Choose your area of growth. What area do you need to grow in? I have all kinds of areas listed in there. One thing, parent, pray for your kids every night. So, I don't know how to do it. I'll give you a formula. Bless John with love. That's it. Formula, four words. Every night, you just go to your kids, bless Sue with peace today. Bless Bob with strength. Just do that every day. That's going to transform your family. That's going to transform and impact your kids. And it just takes what? 5 seconds. Easy to do. So choose your area of growth. Identify the specific action and frequency. Set a goal that sounds stupidly small. If it doesn't sound stupidly small, go smaller, right? Some of those you might think is ridiculous, like exercising. It says, put on your gym clothes. What is that? Consistency. It's the habit of doing that. You think if you keep doing that, there's not going to be a day you put it on. It's like, at least I need to work them out, build up a little sweat on them. You're going to do something. Then there it goes. Then you're off to the races. Okay? Make yourself do it. Exercise your will every day. Each day you accomplish, congratulate yourself. Ask yourself if you could do one more. Don't increase the size of the goal until after 100 days. Okay? Zechariah 4:10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. That was when Zerubbabel was given the mandate to build the temple. And it started with him just having the measuring tool, the plumb line in his hand. We need to build up our soul and our wills so that we are powerful, equipped people that the Lord can use to take down giants. Let's bow forward in prayer. Lord, when we read those words in the Bible, train, work hard, be disciplined, be self-controlled, I think there's a part of us that reacts to that, like, ugh. But Lord, you made us to be like that. You built us to work. You call us, Lord, to greatness, God. And so, Lord, thank you. I'm really thankful, Lord, personally, for this approach, this method, this practical tool, because I know it's helped me. It's working in my life, and I believe it could help a lot of us here. Just start small. Do a mini habit. Start something, Lord, and do it every day so that we can build ourselves, like Paul, to be people that are prepared for the moment when you call us to step in to defeat those stinking giants in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.